rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. The name of my sermon today is the Fourth Commandment, Sabbath. And the purpose of my sermon is to review whether our Lord, Jesus Christ, still wants us to obey the seventh day Sabbath commandment. Let us first read about a little bit about its origin. Let's turn to the book of Genesis, chapter 1. As you all know, Genesis 1 is the creation story, or the chapter that talks about the creation week. And we'll start by reading the ending of verse 5. The ending of verse 5 says, "And the evening and the morning were the first day." Now let's read the ending of verse 8. "And the evening and the morning were the second day." The third day is mentioned in verse 13. The fourth day is mentioned in verse 19. The fifth day is mentioned in verse 23. Let's move all the way to verse 31. And we'll read the ending of verse 31. "And the evening and the morning were the sixth day." That's talking again about the creation week. And you notice during the creation week, there's a pattern there. Each day consists of an evening and a morning. In other words, the evening comes before the morning. The darkness comes before the daylight. And that is the reason why when we keep the Sabbath today, it runs from Friday evening to Saturday evening, or sunset Friday to sunset Saturday. And of course, you just look at your calendar. You see that the seventh day on the calendar is Saturday. So the Saturday daytime would be the daytime of the seventh day Sabbath. Again, so it would be sundown Friday to sundown Saturday. Now let's read verses 1 to 3 in Genesis 2. "Thus the heavens and all the earth were finished, and all the hosts of them. And on the seventh day, God ended his work which he had made. And he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had made. And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because in it he had rested from all his work which God created and made." So right after the creation work, God made the seventh day holy. He set it apart as a day of rest. And that's what Sabbath literally means, intermission or rest. So the seventh day Sabbath precedes the Ten Commandments as a whole. It was established after creation. So it was established after creation. It has always been since then. Even our first parents, Adam and Eve, worshiped God on the seventh day Sabbath. Before we talk about Jesus and the Sabbath, I want to make a comparison about who the Sabbath was made for. Let's read again from Genesis 1. Genesis 1, verses 27 and 28, speaking about the creation of man. It reads, "So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And God blessed them and said unto them, Be fruitful and multiply, and replenish the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth." And that's speaking of Adam and Eve. God gave Adam and Eve, the man and his wife, as we will soon see, the command to multiply. So, now let's read chapter 2, verse 24, Genesis 2, 24. It reads, "Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh." That means that Adam and Eve were married. They were husband and wife. And God gave that husband and wife a command, be fruitful and multiply. the first parents of the entire human race. Now I'd like to take you to the New Testament, to 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 9. And when you read the book of Corinthians, one thing to keep in mind, even though we are to take the information found in 1 Corinthians and apply it to ourselves, Paul himself is addressing the Corinthian church. And keep in mind, that Corinthian church was a Gentile church. They were Greeks. So he's talking to Greeks, or again, Gentiles. And he says in 1 Corinthians 11:9, neither was the man created for the woman, but the woman for the man. At the end of the verse, he says that woman was created for man. That means that marriage was created for the entire human race. Adam and Eve were husband and wife, and the Jews had people who were husband and wife, and so do the Gentiles, or so did the Gentiles, and even today, the whole human race has people who are husband and wife. Marriage was a holy institution, also was and is a holy institution that God established during the creation week. He established marriage on the sixth day before the Sabbath. What does that have to do with the Sabbath? Well, as mentioned, marriage was created for the whole human race, all mankind. So let's turn to Mark chapter 2, verse 27. Mark chapter 2, verse 27. This is Jesus speaking to the Jewish leaders, speaking to the Pharisees. He says in Mark chapter 2, verse 27, and he said unto them, the Sabbath was made for man, and not man for the Sabbath. Let's stop right there. First, I'll talk about why he said at the end of the verse, not man for the Sabbath. Well, if you read that entire context, Jesus and his disciples went into the cornfields on the Sabbath. Why did they do that? His disciples were hungry. They needed food to eat. So they walked into the cornfields, plucked the grain, and started eating it. And the Pharisees accused them of breaking the Sabbath because they had gone into the cornfields and plucked food to eat. But then Jesus reminded them of what happened when David was on the run from King Saul. David and his men were hungry. Saul was trying to kill David. And David and his men had nothing to eat. They came to the high priest and made it known to him while they're on the run from Saul. They came to the high priest, made it known to him they had nothing to eat. Well, in the service of the sanctuary, they had a kind of bread called showbread. And it was only lawful for the priests to eat that bread. But because David and his men had nothing to eat, the priest gave them the showbread, which was normally not lawful for them to eat. But he gave it to them, and they ate it. So Jesus is pointing out in this context that holy things, the showbread, or holy time, the Sabbath, can be used to meet human needs. I remember when a church member told me at the Brockton Church, he doesn't live in New York State now, but he talked about when his neighbor's house flooded, and he and his first wife, who passed away eventually, he and his first wife got out and helped their neighbors. It was the Sabbath, but the neighbor's house had flooded. They were sitting on their porch in tears because they thought there was no one to help. And Bob and Betty walked over and offered them help. That lifted them up. And that was to eliminate human suffering. They helped them get the water out of the house and do whatever cleaning they needed to do after that. But that was to eliminate human suffering. Now, we won't be turning to any of the accounts of Jesus' healing, but if you read the Gospels, you will find several accounts of Jesus' healing on the Sabbath. So it's lawful to, Jesus says, it's lawful to do good on the Sabbath. It's lawful in certain ways, let me put it this way, in certain ways to help people. If they need healing or some other, or if they're suffering in some other way, and you do something to eliminate human suffering, that is lawful. But back to this context, his disciples were hungry. And so they went into the cornfields and plucked the grain. I'll tell you another true story. When I was a student at Heartland Institute, someone came to the campus. I was a student of Heartland College, which is part of Heartland Institute. And someone came to the campus, and they didn't have any food, and they told me they were going to go into our garden. They had already gone into our garden and plucked some of the vegetables. So I just smiled and said, okay, and I just said to myself, I won't tell the farm manager. But nonetheless, that's what they did. Either way, back to this context. That was their belief, that it was lawful to do that. But either way, Jesus is saying, again, holy time and holy things can be used to meet human needs. But now I want to go back to focusing on the beginning of the verse. And he said unto them, the Sabbath was made for man. That means, again, the entire human race. And as we keep going, we will see biblical proof of that. That it's for the entire human race. But before we see the proof that it's for, the further proof that it's for the entire human race, let's talk more about Jesus and the law. Let's turn to Luke's Gospel, Luke 18, verses 18 and 20. Luke 18, verses 18 and 20. This is the story of the rich young ruler. For those of you who know this story, personally, I believe that Jesus was giving the young man a shot at apostleship. And he told the young man in the end to sell what he had and follow him, that he may have treasures in heaven. But the young man went away sorrowful because he had many possessions. He didn't want to lose them. It reads in verse 18, and a certain ruler asked him, saying, good master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? That's his question. Verse 20, Jesus says, thou knowest the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not kill. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Honor thy father and thy mother. What is Jesus quoting here? Exactly. He's quoting the Ten Commandments. And remember the rich young ruler's question in verse 18, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? Now, we know that obeying the Ten Commandments alone doesn't give us salvation. Salvation is through Jesus Christ. But Jesus does acknowledge in this context that obeying his commandments or keeping his commandments is a condition of salvation. It is a condition of inheriting eternal life. Does that include the Sabbath? We will see that very shortly. Let's turn to Luke 5, I'm sorry, not Luke, Matthew 5, 17. Matthew 5, 17. A very well-known verse. This is Jesus speaking again. Jesus says, "Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill." So in this context, the word fulfill is the opposite of destroy. To destroy something is to just that, put it to an end. For instance, if you destroy a building, you demolish it. Or if you destroy a paper, you might shred it or burn it. But he didn't come to destroy the law. He came to fulfill the law. It's the opposite of destroy. Now, the word fulfill has multiple meanings. It can mean to bring something to an end. But here it's the opposite of destroy. So it must have a different meaning. Let's find out. What does the Bible mean by fulfill, fulfilling the law? Let's turn to Romans 3:31. Romans chapter 3, verse 31, the very last verse of the chapter. Romans 3:31. The Apostle Paul raises a very important question right here. He asks, "Do we then make void the law through faith?" In other words, because of Jesus' sacrifice, do we no longer have to obey the law? God forbid. Yea, we establish the law. To fulfill the law in the Bible means to establish the law. It's put into effect. We establish the law. So that's what Jesus meant when he said, "Think not that I am come to destroy the law. I'm not come to destroy, but to fulfill, to establish." We establish the law. And Jesus even says to his disciples, a verse I know most of you can quote from memory, "If ye love me," what? "Keep my commandments." Exactly. But I want to read another verse. That's John 14:15. I want to read another verse from the book of John. John 15:10, where he lays a similar charge on his disciples. John 15:10. John chapter 15, verse 10. Jesus says to his disciples, "If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love." Very similar to John 14:15. Then he goes on saying, "Even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love." So Jesus charges us to keep his commandments even as he kept his Father's commandments. In other words, I'm your model. Do what I did. Keep my commandments as I kept my Father's commandments. Did Jesus keep the Sabbath? Yes, he did. And the Sabbath is one of his Father's commandments. Let's turn back to the book of Luke, chapter 4, verse 16. Luke, chapter 4, verse 16. Speaking of Jesus, Luke 4:16 says, "And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up." That was where he was raised. "And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the" what day? Sabbath. On the Sabbath day, and stood up for to read. So we find him going into the synagogue in Nazareth on the Sabbath. So he worshiped God on his Father, God on the Sabbath. Let's look up one more verse for that point, Jesus keeping the Sabbath. Mark 1. Mark 1. Mark 1, and we'll read verse 21. Mark chapter 1, verse 21. Speaking of Jesus and his disciples, it reads, "And they went into Capernaum, and straightway on the Sabbath day, he, Jesus, entered into the synagogue and taught." So Jesus most definitely kept the Sabbath. So when he charged his disciples to keep his commandments, even as he kept his Father's commandments, that included the Sabbath. So we have clearly seen, friends, Jesus mentioned in the book of Luke that keeping the Ten Commandments as a condition of inheriting eternal life, a condition of salvation. We saw from Matthew and Romans that Jesus came not to destroy the law, but to fulfill, to establish the law, including the Sabbath commandment. And then we saw that Jesus says, "If ye love me, keep my commandments." If we love him, we will keep his commandments, and he charges us to keep his commandments as he kept his Father's commandments. And that includes the Sabbath. He kept the Sabbath when he kept his Father's commandments. So the Bible is crystal clear that, yes, Jesus does want us to continue to keep the Sabbath. But let's turn to the book of Acts and find out for sure. Did the early Christian church keep the Sabbath in compliance with Jesus' charge? Let's turn to Acts 13, starting with verse 42. Acts 13, starting with verse 42. Paul preached in the synagogue on the Sabbath. Acts 13, starting with verse 42. "And when the Jews were gone out of the synagogue, the Gentiles besought that these words might be preached to them the next Sabbath." So the Jews had just gone out of the synagogue, and the Gentiles besought or begged for the same words to be preached to them the next Sabbath. You know if the Jews had just gone out, that means it was the seventh day of the week. Verse 43, "Now when the congregation was broken up, many of the Jews and religious proselytes," that means converts, "followed Paul and Barnabas, who, speaking to them, persuaded them to continue in the grace of God. And the next Sabbath day came almost the whole city together to hear the word of God." Let's turn to a part that's a little bit clearer. Acts 18, same book. Acts chapter 18, we'll start with verse 1. And it reads, "After these things, Paul departed from Athens and came to Corinth." Verse 4. "And he reasoned in the synagogue every Sabbath and persuaded the Jews and the Greeks." Now, friends, again, you know that if Jews were present there, it was the seventh day Sabbath. It was the fourth commandment Sabbath that they were worshiping on. And Paul persuaded the Jews and the Greeks, or the Jews and the Gentiles. They most definitely kept the Sabbath in compliance with Jesus' charge. Let's look at a couple more places in the book of Acts. We'll back up Acts chapter 17, verse 2. It reads, "And Paul," I mean, we've already read two accounts of Paul worshiping on the Sabbath, teaching or preaching in the synagogue on the Sabbath. Here it reads, "And Paul, as his manner was, went in unto them, and three Sabbath days reasoned with them out of the scripture." In another verse, chapter 16, verse 13, same book, Acts 16:13, "And on the Sabbath we went out of the city by a river," by a riverside, "where prayer was wont," that word means accustomed, "prayer was wont to be made, and we sat down and spake unto the women which resorted thither." They gathered together to pray on the Sabbath. So there you have it, the early Christian church keeping the fourth commandment, Sabbath. Did you know that even the Apostle John, or Prophet John, kept the Sabbath when he was on the Isle of Patmos? Let's turn to Revelation 1:10. Revelation chapter 1, verse 10. Revelation chapter 1, verse 10. And John says, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. And of course, the Sabbath, the seventh day of the week, was when God rested from his works. And he sanctified that day. He hallowed it. He made it holy. John says, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. Well, the Bible answers that. The next question would be, what day is the Lord's day? The question is answered. Scripture says, for the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath day. That was Matthew 12:8. And the other Gospels say the same thing. Another Gospel says, therefore the Son of Man is Lord also of the Sabbath. That's Mark 2:28. And the book of Luke says, and he said unto them that the Son of Man is Lord also of the Sabbath. That's the Lord's day. Jesus is Lord of the Sabbath day. So when John was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, that was the Sabbath. John kept the Sabbath during his time on the Isle of Patmos. So the early Christian church most definitely kept the seventh-day Sabbath, the Sabbath of the fourth commandment. So the remaining question is, will the Sabbath continue to be kept in eternity? In closing, let's turn to the book of Isaiah, chapter 65. Isaiah chapter 65, verse 17. So we have seen the Sabbath. The Sabbath was instituted during the creation week, at the end of the creation week. We have seen that it was made for all mankind. Jesus mentioned that we are still to keep the Ten Commandments as a condition of inheriting eternal life. Jesus came not to destroy the law, but to fulfill or establish the law. He charged his disciples, if they love him, to keep his commandments as he kept his Father's commandments. That included the Sabbath. Jesus kept the Sabbath. And we've seen clearly the early Christian church kept the Sabbath in compliance with Jesus' charge. Our Lord most definitely wants us to continue to keep the Sabbath of the fourth commandment. It is a special time. We should not think of it as a burden. If we abide in God's love, keeping his commandments is not a burden. And he wants us to keep the Sabbath as a special time for communion with him, rest from our labor. And this will continue to happen in eternity. Isaiah 65, 17. It reads, for behold, I create new heavens and a new earth, and the former shall not be remembered nor come to mind. It says at the end of the verse, the former shall not be remembered nor come to mind, meaning the previous world, the previous sinful world, will not be remembered nor will it come to mind. So this verse is most definitely talking about the new heaven and the new earth in eternity. The book of Isaiah, when it speaks of the new heaven and the new earth, it's talking about eternity. Let's go to our last place, Isaiah 66, 22 and 23. For as the new heavens and the new earth, which I will make, shall remain before me, saith the Lord, so shall your seed and your name remain. And it shall come to pass that from one new moon to another, and from one Sabbath to another, shall all flesh come to worship before me, saith the Lord. Friends, if we keep God's commandments, which are Jesus' commandments, we abide in his love. Even when we keep the Sabbath, we abide in his love. It includes keeping the Sabbath. And if we continue to do this, and we enter into eternal life, Jesus says, for eternity, your seed and your name will remain. Your name will remain for eternity. May this, by the grace of God, be our experience, that each one of us may have a name that remains for all eternity. May we, by God's grace, have communion with our Lord every day, especially on his fourth commandment, Sabbath, from now and throughout all eternity. Amen? Amen. Praise ye the Lord. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for giving us your holy seventh-day Sabbath, that we may have a time for rest and communion with you. And we thank you so much for this beautiful day. We thank you for the sunshine. And we pray that as we leave this house of worship today, that your Spirit will continue to be our teacher, comforter, and guide. And we pray that you will help us to remain patient and faithful until the second coming of your Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. All these things we pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen.